Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your great love for your people and your love for your church. I thank you that not one person here is unnoticed by you, not one heart unseen by you, not one need overlooked by you. Father, so I ask this morning that your word would speak to their hearts, to our hearts, to my heart. I trust you, Father. I set myself aside. And I just ask, Father, that by your power, the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would stir within our hearts a fresh word. That not one of us would walk out those doors the same as when we walked in. But that by the working of your Spirit, through worship, through word, through fellowship, that you would change us, Father. That you would meet us. Bless your people. Bless your word. Awaken us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, some of you may have heard that I spent about a month on the mission field in September. I'm thinking, I'm still not good on my dates. And October. And so I've just returned a few weeks ago. And many of you have been asking about my trip. And so I am going to share just a little bit about my trip. For those of you who are interested in that, I did bring a few pictures with me this morning. And so I want to share on that with you. But we are in this series called Sent. And we've just started the series, so I'm wondering where we're going with that. But I am all on board. And I want to read before we start those slides. I want to read some scriptures with you. Now, you'll see I don't have scriptures on the board for you today because, like I said, I was up all night tossing and turning. But you're going to have to follow along in your Bibles or on your phones or on your devices, whatever you have, or just listen really well. I'm going to read in Romans this morning to start with. Zach, what time's the game today? Oh, where did my clock go? It's behind me. What time's the game, John? Okay, we're good. Okay. We're good. Okay, so I'm going to start in Romans. And it says in Romans, chapter 10. Thank you, Ted. Keep me on track. Chapter 10, verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith speaks thus. Do not say in your hearts, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth that he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good news. So my question this morning is, how shall they preach unless they are sent? We reach people by preaching. Now, some of you may look at me and think, well, Chris, we can't all be preachers. We're not all like you. We're not all like Pastor Ben. But that's not what the Word of God is saying. We all have a commission. That's what Pastor Ben was talking about last week, right? Jesus said, go into all the world. And he was speaking to everyone. Go into all the world and preach the good news. And that's for all of us. And so I want to tell you a little bit about my trip. But I want you to know that how shall they preach unless they are sent? We are all sent. We are all called to go. Now, going doesn't mean that you have to go halfway around the world. Going means that we go wherever we go, we take the message. Wherever we go, we take the message. And we're each equipped to do so. How did you come to faith?
By hearing.
That's right. So let me show you a few slides. Let me tell you a little bit about my trip. Zach, do we got some slides? I'll just pick one because I didn't get them in there in any order. I'm not that good at my tech stuff. So I was able to go to Mauritius, which is a small island off the coast of Madagascar, about 500 miles out. I went to Mauritius, and then I went to South Africa for a little while. Mauritius, we spent a team of four of us, joined up with a team of about four or five people from South Africa. And we spent some time in Mauritius on this island. Hold on. Don't go too fast. Just go back to that one for a second. That's okay. I just can't talk that fast. And we do this on a regular basis. We do it once a year in September. And we take the good news of the gospel of Jesus. We preach in churches. And this year we had the opportunity to have some open-air meetings. And you'll see in one of the pictures to come a tent meeting. And we, this last year, there we go, there's a tent. And that tent, hold it there, is right across the street from the first picture. And that tent is a tent that we purchased this last year. This is the first time this tent has gone up. And this tent is in an area that is full of drugs and abuse, and it's just a very low-income area. And not that all low-income areas have to be full of that kind of stuff, but in this area, the police don't even go into this area. It's considered so dangerous that the police don't even go into that area. They don't even bother to go into that area anymore. So it's pretty repressed. And we have put up the tent in that area for the first time. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday meeting. And in that 3 days, we were able to see over 100 people respond to the salvation message of Jesus Christ. Many healings, many people were delivered from demonic oppression and possession. Here you see in this picture, before service, everybody's facing that in that first picture is the very inner circle of that neighborhood. And that very inner circle of that neighborhood, many of the homes are in that area. It's kind of like a 3-block radius. And they've actually walled their neighborhood in to protect from all the dangers on the outside. And they've actually walled their neighborhood in with the tin, corrugated tin. There you see it. And every once in a while you see a door and somebody will pop out and you go, oh, I didn't know there was a door there. But they've walled themselves in to protect themselves. And so the tent literally is right across the street. And we were able to set up the tent there on a vacant piece of property and just hold meetings for 3 days. And we saw great, tremendous response to the gospel. In fact, just down the street, since we've established there, we're able to build a church within the next year. And so God was doing mighty things. And you saw in that second picture that we're all raising our hands because we were all having a prayer meeting. We were all praying for the neighborhood before service started. I would say probably one of the greatest privileges I had while I was gone, and you have to understand that when I went, I was the least of the least of the people I went with. I was the least of the people that I served with. I went with some people who've done mighty things, who are amazing preachers, who God moves through mightily. But the Lord blessed me, and I was the first person to preach in that tent. And I was the first person on that ground to declare the name of Jesus and to give the gospel message. And that was just God's gift to me, to be able to stand there and to give the first gospel message in that place. And you know, that it wasn't because of me that people came to Jesus, but it was such an honor to be able to stand and proclaim the name of Jesus and to share the gospel message. You know, when Jesus changes you on the inside, you want to tell people. You want to be the one to stand and to give that gospel message. And not all preaching is done from up front. I'm not saying everybody that preaches has to be the one standing up front. We preach sitting down riding in the car with one another. We preach when we're, you know, living life together.
That's right.
You know, people hear in lots of different scenarios. But we have to preach the gospel when Jesus changes something in here, right?
That's right.
And that was the gift God gave me, was to be able to be in this place and to be able to preach the gospel. In fact, do I have another? This actually is a picture in South Africa, some of the government homes. I understand the government builds these homes in some of the areas there. You want to keep going? This again is in Mauritius. This woman is amazing. She is a firecracker of a woman. This meeting actually took place in a basketball court, another open-air meeting. They were absolutely dynamic. She would pace back and forth. This is in the front of the basketball court. There'd be seats in the basketball court. People would be sitting in seats, and there'd be people on the outside of the basketball courts just hanging on the chain link fence trying to figure out whether they wanted to come in and listen or whether they wanted to stand on the outside and, you know, just kind of head their own way, you know. But she would be marching up and down. You can tell just by looking at her. She's an amazing woman. And she would be walking up and down praying and at the top of her voice with the microphone. And she'd be praying in the spirit. And I would do it, but I couldn't do her justice. She was absolutely dynamic and amazing. Her name is Pastor Sabrina, and she was absolutely amazing. All before service, you know, yeah, absolutely amazing. I can't even explain the atmosphere. I walked onto that basketball court, and for those of you who will understand in the spirit, it was electric. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know, it was amazing. And that was before the Word of God was even given. She had well prepared the ground. The Holy Spirit was there. Yes, this is the basketball court. And this is the basketball court. You can keep going. This is Jackie. Do some of you remember Jackie coming and visiting us a year or two ago? Yeah. Prophet Jackie. He's prophesying to a man there. And this is in South Africa again. We were in this corrugated tin church about maybe the size of this room. And it was tin sides, tin top, and we had the largest lightning storm I have ever been in. And I kept thinking, just don't touch the sides. Just don't touch the sides. It was amazing. It was both electrifying inside and outside. But, oh, it was fantastic. Keep going, Zach. So this is the team we ministered with while we were in Mauritius. The four of us in the middle are the four that came from here. Keep going. And the pastors are on the outside. This church is the first church we shared at in Mauritius. We were doing a women's meeting. Just a small room, kind of the size of your living room. The most astounding thing, the picture isn't too exciting, but the most astounding thing about this church is it was started by one sister. One sister out of eight sisters in a family. One sister started this.
Amen.
Never think that anything is too small that you do.
That's right.
One person is enough. God's math is all backwards than what we think, right? He can do mighty things with one person. One person sharing the word. And all eight sisters were there that night. And it grew family by family by family. It was amazing. Actually, in this place, their church was held kind of in a home. They built this church in a home setting. And then out and around the backyard was another home they built. And out and around the front yard was another home they built. And it was kind of like a little, I don't know, little...
Lego.
Yeah, commune. All of different homes. It was often something you saw in Mauritius, you know, as family homes all built together. It was really, really something. But we took the picture because it was all family. And there were some kids hanging out at the basketball court. Is that my last picture? A couple more. Some kids hanging out. Love the kids. This is a pastor at the church in South Africa, one of them. And her new baby. This woman was Mother Mary, at a little church in South Africa. And she had a church the size of that back corner, probably enough to put six chairs down each wall and like four chairs on the inside layer. And just incredible. And it was in this area. They called them squatter camps because it was an area where a lot of immigrants came in. And I think I have a couple pictures of what those places might look like. But they had a home, and then in the backyard was this little building they used as a church. Tin roof, again. And it was so hot that day. And we were all packed in there. There's probably, there was six of us and maybe... you know, the visitors, and there was 12 women that came for the service that day because it was another women's service. And Pastor Mary said, well, let's start some worship. And this one woman on the back wall started to sing, and she sang in the most beautiful, clear South African voice you've ever heard. She started to sing, What a Mighty God We Serve. And I tell you, that voice rang out across the land of South Africa. I have never heard a voice, I have never heard the power of God go out in a voice so incredible before. It went right across the land. It was amazing. It was unbelievable. But in that little tiny, tiny room, later on in the service, you know, we're ministering to the women. And this man, out of nowhere, you know, like I said, the church is back in the backyard, behind this house, in this neighborhood, in the middle of this camp. This man, from nowhere, just wanders into this church. You know, he's got to go through the neighborhood, through the house, through the yard, to the back of the property, into this little building. He wanders in and he says, I need to give my life to Jesus. Just out in the middle of nowhere. And sure enough, we led him to the Lord. But that was an amazing service in such a small place out in the middle of what one would just look at miles and miles of homes like these and just think, you know, you're out in the middle of like, you know, just pick a place, you know, just lay your finger on it. But God does some pretty amazing things. Here's kind of some of the conditions, you know, as you drive by that you might see people living in. Some of the places we were visiting and ministering to. I think I might have one more. Is that it? All right. So that's a lot about my trip. I spent a lot of time in open air meetings and a few, about maybe equal time in church meetings. But I just loved. I loved at the basketball courts just being able to go and just speak out the name of Jesus. You know, there's just no more powerful name than the name of Jesus. There's nothing that carries more power and more authority than his name. So I want to get into the word just a little bit with you this morning. It's not 1 o'clock yet, is it? All right. I've had a lot of opportunity to see a number of different things in the last month or so, last couple months. Been a few rough places, been in some pretty nice places. Nothing fancy. You didn't see me laying on the beach anywhere. I don't have any of those pictures. I think I saw the beach once, eating some fried noodles. They were wonderful. From a little food truck. If I have any food truck lovers, you would have liked Mauritius. There you go. But I've seen a lot of things. Seen a lot of neighborhoods. Seen in a lot of different homes. Seen a lot of different places. But you know what I did notice? The enemy doesn't care where you live. He doesn't care what kind of house you live in. Mm-hmm. If you live in a fancy house, if you live in a squatter camp, if you live in a tin home, if you lived wedged between apartment homes, he doesn't care what kind of neighborhood you live in. Down around the basketball court, in the ghetto, what they call the ghetto. He doesn't care. In the slums, he doesn't care whether you drive a car, ride a bicycle, walk everywhere you go. He doesn't care. He cares about one thing. He cares about killing, stealing, and destroying. Right? It's time for the church to wake up. It's time for us to wake up.
Amen.
It's time for us to ask the Lord, wake me up. Stir me up. We can no longer afford to sit back and be comfortable in church. We can no longer afford to think we figured it all out. And we can no longer afford to be run down, to be wearied. Because I know we get that way. I get that way. It's not where we're meant to live. We can't afford that. We can't afford to be entangled with things of this world. It's time to wake up. It's time to rouse ourselves. It's time to be sent. It's time to preach the good news of the gospel. Whether you do it in a car, sitting over coffee, sharing it with one another, standing up front, doing it across the world, next door to your neighbor, down the street to the apartments, at school, living it every day, preaching it. And this isn't a condemnation thing. No. This is an encouragement thing. This isn't a, you're not doing it good enough, get with it. Tough, I know you're tough. No, it isn't that. It's a wake up, God is bigger than you think thing. If you're stumbling on things, if things have got you down, if you're comfortable, no, it's time. It's time to wake up. Hey, back row, it's time to wake up. I'm giving you a bad time. It's time. It's time to be busy. It's time to be passionate. It's time for God to put that fire within you. And if you don't have it, we need to ask for it. Isaiah 52. Awake, awake. Clothe yourself in strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come into you. Shake yourself from the dust and rise up, O captive Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the chains around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Be of sober spirit and be on the alert, for your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Isaiah 52 says, clothe yourself in strength. Clothe yourself in strength. Psalms 147. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Salvation, we know, is found in no one else, right? No one else. He is our strength and our salvation. It says, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. That's that helmet of salvation, right? We know that. We must have knowledge and understanding and correct thinking about our salvation and all that it entails.
Amen.
All that it includes, or the enemy will try to steal it away. We must understand what our salvation includes, or the enemy will steal it. He's our provider. Did you know that with salvation? When he's your redeemer, when he has paid the price and you've accepted it, he is your provider. Do you need provision today? You know, when I was in South Africa, that tin church, the one about the size of this, we prayed for people afterwards, which was common for us to do. People would line up for prayer. Every person I prayed for, they, like I said, they lived in that squatter camp, is what they called it. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful when I say squatter camp. I asked, and that's literally what they told us to call it. So I'm not really trying to be down saying a negative thing. I'm just calling it what they told me to call it. But in that area, every single person I prayed for asked for provision, asked for a job, asked for money. They were desperate. For finances, for provision, for food, for a place to live, for a job. Do you need provision today? Jesus is our provider, our Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
It's a redemption name. It's part of your inheritance. And if you don't know that, the enemy's going to steal that from you. Are you hearing me? Do you, am I right, David?
Right.
Yeah, all right, thank you. Amen. Amen. Did I hear?
Amen.
Ah, thank you, Mary Jo. I have a question now for me. Remember, I was up all night. Is she coming? Is she coming? Is she coming? Healer. He's our healer. Do you know that? Do you need healing today?
Yes.
Amen. you don't know that, the enemy will keep it from you. He'll hide it. He'll steal it. You must have right thinking and knowledge. That helmet of salvation. All right? Clothe yourself with strength. Clothe yourself in beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. Beautiful garments. Just flip a page here. Awake, awake, and clothe yourself in beautiful garments. Isaiah 61 says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me in garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Beautiful garments. Our beautiful garments are the righteousness of Christ. We are clothed in righteousness. When we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ.
That's right.
You are the righteousness of Christ. How many walk as the righteousness of Christ? If we don't walk in the righteousness of Christ, what are we walking in? Condemnation? Guilt? Accusations of the enemy? How many have made friends with those? Condemnation? Guilt? Accusations? That's not what you're supposed to wear. That's why you need to be clothed in the beautiful garments of Christ's righteousness.
Amen.
When you're clothed in His righteousness, you have courage, boldness, confidence, and assurance. We can't afford to walk around wearing the past. See, when we are the old man, before we came to Jesus, right? Before we came to Jesus, yeah, there was condemnation. There was guilt for sin. There was accusations of the enemy. Yeah, but when we came into Christ, we became a new creature. That old man, that old sinful nature, it died. I am no longer that person.
That's right.
That person is dead. Along with all those accusations. And if I'm still picking up and carrying around that dead person, then I'm carrying something that legally no longer belongs to me because Christ bought that and paid for it. It belongs to Christ. He paid for it on the cross. It no longer belongs to me. It's dead. It's not mine. Christ paid for it. Right now, I walk in Christ's righteousness. I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus, clothed in His righteousness, not because of anything I have done, not because I am perfect, but because I have put on Christ.
Amen.
I no longer live. I died. And I have put on Christ. My life is hidden in Christ. I no longer have to wear those things. So if I'm carrying them around, I'm not thinking right. I'm not wearing that salvation helmet. I'm not strong. I'm not walking in strength. I'm not thinking correctly. So I've got to pick up my word because my word helps me think right. It helps me renew my mind, transforms my mind into right thinking. Okay? Am I making sense?
Amen.
Logically, am I going in the right order? All right. So I am the righteousness of Christ. Let's go one step further. You were created in the image of God. Okay, now I want you to stop and think about that. You, most beautiful, were created in the image of God. Now, sin came in, kind of messed us up, right? But when we have Jesus, we are being conformed into the image of Jesus.
Amen.
So, stop everything. Think for a moment about Jesus. About Jesus and His glory. He's dressed in splendor and majesty. He's holy. He's beautiful. You were created in His image. You are being conformed into the image of Jesus. You are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Do you hear what the Spirit is saying? You were created in the image of God. Do you walk it? Do you wear it? Do you live it? That's why it says, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord, my soul will exalt in my God, for He has clothed me in garments of salvation, and He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Think of Jesus. It says, for the uncircumcised and the unclean will no more come into you. I am dead. I have died. That is no longer coming into me. It's Christ Jesus who lives. That's dead. Now shake yourselves up from the dust and rise up, O captive daughter of Zion. Shake yourselves. It doesn't say, now ask God to shake you up. It says, shake yourselves up from the dust and rise up. We've got to shake ourselves. We've got to shake ourselves. Loose yourselves from your chains around your neck. You know, even when we have Jesus, even when that is dead, there are some things that we still carry around us. It's like we've been chained to sin, because sin and that old life is like slavery, right? We serve the one, we are slaves to the one we serve, right? And so it's like we have this chain, you know, like they say in marriage, you know, this ball and chain. But it's not marriage, it's sin. So like we're chained and we're all bound up in chains. And Jesus comes and He delivers us, right? And He cuts that chain and we're no longer slaves to that sin and we're free. But sometimes there's still things in our lives that although Jesus has cut the chains, we haven't shaken them off. We haven't loosed ourselves from them. And we still carry these heavy chains around. You know, things like fear. things like, sometimes life just happens too, and it's like chains that have been cut, because Jesus has already done the work. And on the cross, the work was finished. He said, it is finished. And his work was done.
Amen.
He doesn't need to keep working. There's not something more that Jesus has to do. It's already been finished. All right? But sometimes life happens, and there's more that we need to appropriate for ourselves. So we have these things that bind us, and sometimes the chains are around our feet. They entangle us, and we trip all over ourselves, trying just to walk out this life. Things like fear. Sometimes depression comes upon us. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes we get messed up in things, and it's just sin. Sometimes, okay, give me some. Help me out. Come on, you guys know what they are. I am functioning on lack of sleep. I was having a baby last night. Addictions, thank you. But just stuff in life. And Jesus has already cut the chains. But they're still on us. And we have to shake those off. Speaking things that aren't true. We have to shake them off. We have to get them off of us because we're not meant to walk like that. We're meant to walk in freedom. Because let me tell you, we can never lead other people into freedom if we're not walking in it in ourselves. Did you hear me? To the places that we're walking in freedom, we can lead people. But if we are all entangled in our own messes, we will not be able to lead people into freedom. It is time to awake. It is time to rouse ourselves. Now is the time and the season. It is time to go and preach. To be set. If I had little white cards under your chairs, sorry, Ben, I would have you think about it. And for those who would, I would have you take and write on there, I am a preacher. Because it is time to awake. And it's time to take and carry the good news of Jesus. The glad tidings to people that we encounter. But we must first encounter it for ourselves. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, yes, we haven't missed the game. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you, even now, that you would stir within our hearts and awaken even the deepest part of us. That you would bring new revelation of who you have created us to be. That even as we go forth in this week, Father, that there would be a new stirring by your Spirit within the very hearts of your people. Father God, that you would do a mighty work amongst us. I thank you, Father, that you are not done with us, that you are faithful over us, that you are always working and what you do is perfect. Father, I thank you for your word. Build up your people and encourage them and give them clear vision of who you have called them to be, who you have created them to be, and who you say they are. Father, bless them. And I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would pour your love into their hearts. That as they seek your face this week, Father, they would experience your love in a tangible way. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless your people. We bless your holy name. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.